Destination Freedom. Listen, it's the Freedom Bell.
Aye, the Freedom Bell, my friends. And this is Paul Revere, called back from the shadows by the sound of the Freedom Bell to cry again a warning that the price of freedom is eternal vigilance.
Destination Freedom is presented by station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Paul Revere is the symbol of warning, ready to ride down the skies to shout an alarm. His destination, now and forever, freedom.
Books in my day were for the rich, and so was education. But times have changed, and today every child has the right to go to school to get an education. Now it's a great privilege to be able to go to school, for learning creates new horizons, opens up new and wonderful worlds for the young developing mind. And a democracy cannot grow and prosper without an enlightened people. Aye, that's a fact. A fact our forefathers realized early in the history of our country. And so it became a part of our great national heritage that all children have the right to study, to learn, to become the enlightened people needed in a democracy. Still, most children fail to realize the value of education. And so our various states have found it necessary to insist that their young citizens attend school, at least until they finish high school, anyway. Then there are colleges for students who desire more education. And while grammar schools and high schools are free to everyone, a college student in either a private or a state-supported college has to pay most of his own way. And don't forget that he is there because of his own choice. No one makes him go. Suppose you were a young man and had decided to go to college and suddenly found that you could no longer continue because your country needed soldiers to fight a war and you were the right age to become a soldier. Aye, there's a problem. You have a right to your education, but what of your duty to your country? Perhaps we can best understand this problem by visiting Harper University. The time, the future. The subject, the test.
Yes?
Alan Heath is waiting, Dr. Croft.
All right, Miss Burt. Send him in. Alan! Well, my boy, you're looking top-notch.
Dr. Croft, I don't want to take much time.
Just like your dad. That's one of the big problems with this modern world. Nobody has time. Well, lad, what's the worried look for?
Well, sir, I've come to say goodbye. I'm being inducted in the Army.
The Army?
I don't like it, sir. Before I go, I want to protest.
Protest? I don't understand.
It's the test, Dr. Croft.
What about the test?
It isn't fair, Dr. Croft. I've worked hard for my education at Harper University, darned hard. Now, because of that test, the career I thought I was going to have...
Alan, you didn't pass the test.
No, sir.
Have you told your father and mother?
And have them down on you? No, sir, Dr. Croft.
Alan, what do you mean, have them down on me?
I don't see what I had to do with it. I was supposed to take the test, only it took me instead. And I thought I had a right to an education.
You still have a right to your education, young man. Now you listen to me. I can remember the days when your father and I were roommates here at Harper. He had done his share. A good deal more than most. He was sightless when I first met him. Couldn't see a 100-watt bulb if it was right on top of him. We had another roommate by the name of Jack Ferguson. Jack was handsome, wealthy, smart, and he had everything a young man could possibly want. Your mother and Jack were pinned. And I can remember the nights your dad and she first met back in the fall of 51. It was in the cafeteria. Jack, your dad, and I were having supper.
Brother, I've had it. Whew. That was one of the best desserts I've put away for weeks.
Hey, there's Viv. Viv, over here.
Hi,
hey, Viv.
Jack. Hi. Wow,
I wish I'd come over earlier. I had to work on some biology notes on account of tomorrow night.
Viv, this is Jim Heath.
Oh, don't get up. Hey, I'm over here if you want to shake hands.
Oh, I'm sorry. The acoustics in here aren't too good.
Jim's our new roommate, Viv. Incidentally, her name's Vivian Graybar, Jim.
Hi, Vivian.
Hi, Jim.
Just so you'll understand why I got a little mixed up, I'm one of the fortunate survivors of an accident on Okinawa. I was lucky. I only lost my sight.
I'm terribly sorry, Jim. I wouldn't say you've been lucky, though.
Oh, but I was. One of the boys lost both arms. The others were killed.
Well, I guess that's one way of looking at it.
And you're here on the GI Bill, huh?
That's right.
Well, all I can say is you've certainly earned your education. Are you just starting, Jim?
Oh, no, hardly that. No, I'm working on my law degree, as a matter of fact.
Your law degree? How in the world can you... Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Well, how do you?
I've gotten it down to a system now. You see, I bought a tape recorder to take to classes for the lectures. Any books I have to read... Well, I have a fellow who reads rapidly, and when we come to the high spots, I take them down on tape, too. Then it's easy. I just play the tapes over and over again until I've got the stuff memorized.
How about that?
Say, Jim, that'd be a way to make some dough. You know, for other GIs and other sightless students at Harper U.
Oh, I thought of that.
You would.
Yes, not only for Harper, but for other schools where the sightless have no opportunity to take the courses they feel qualified for.
Well, I wish I had a tape of the questions on that deferment test.
Jack.
Vivian. Vivian thinks I'm all wet, Jim. She's a flag-waving type. Thinks all a guy's got to do is put on a uniform, put in a hitch in the service, and come out with a chest full of ribbons. You know all about that stuff, don't you, Jim?
Jack, this isn't the time nor the place to start that all over again.
The time or the place? Are you nuts? Well, the time's so short, we've only got until tomorrow to study for that crummy test. And as far as the place is concerned, where could you find a better place to argue about an educational problem than at college? Isn't that right, Jim?
Well, I think Howard meant that the arguments could wait until after we'd finished eating and that... It ought to wait until we get out of here, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant, and he knew it, too.
Well, I'm through eating. Anybody want to start cracking the books, or am I the only one? Viv, I'll take you home.
I don't want to go just yet, Jack.
Well, why not?
I have some shopping to do.
Well, I'll drop you off. Where are you going?
I'd rather not, Jack. I think I'll walk into town. Air will do me good anyway. What's so darn stuffy in that lab?
Suit yourself. Anybody else want to lift?
No. Nope.
No, thanks, Jack.
I'll see you guys later.
Yeah.
So long.
So long.
Bye, Jack.
Jack sure is eager to pass that test.
He's too eager.
Trouble is that too many people know it.
He shouldn't worry. Jack will never have to worry about being able to afford an education.
Well, Miss Graybar, that...
Vivian, huh?
Sure, thanks. Trouble is that Jack feels his right to have an education's being taken away. Unless, of course, he passes that test.
Well, he's right about that.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you're going to take it tomorrow, Howie. Aren't you scared?
Scared? Of the test?
Yeah.
No. Why should I be? If I pass it, my education goes on. If I fail, it's only interrupted.
Oh, but what about your attitude after you've been in service? Why, some veterans say those were their golden years. Time that was wasted.
They're wrong when they say that. Dead wrong. Since when was time wasted defending your own rights?
We are at the sweatshop door. Oh, such a swell night, I hate to go up and tackle the books. But there's that test tomorrow, and I suppose the best thing to do is pass the darn thing. Coming, Jim?
No, I think I'll park on the front porch for a while and give the mosquitoes a thrill.
You lucky dog. Well, I'll see you. So long.
So long. Cigarettes. There they are. Doggone. Empty. Well, I'll have to run down to the drugstore, I guess.
Jim?
Hmm?
It's Vivian, Jim. Are you all alone?
Yeah.
Mind if I join you?
No, of course not. Come on. Oh, I have to get some cigarettes.
Oh, here, try mine. Hope they're your brand.
One's as good as the other.
Light?
Yeah, thanks. There. Now, what's the pitch?
Oh. You mean, why did I come here?
Yeah.
Does there have to be a reason?
There usually is.
Well, you're right, there is. How long have you known Jack?
Ever since he came to Harper U.
You know him pretty well, you know?
About as well as anyone, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I haven't known Jack very long.
You're wearing his fraternity pin, though.
Yeah, we're sort of engaged.
He's lucky.
He's also afraid.
Maybe.
Jim, what's he afraid of?
Why don't you ask him?
I have. He won't give me a straightforward answer.
Why do you want to know?
Because I could just never love a man who was afraid.
You told him that?
Yes.
And what did he say?
He didn't say much of anything, but ever since then his attitude toward me has changed.
It's changed?
No, not necessarily. I'd rather know if it's true that he is afraid.
Vivian, I won't do that. Not for anyone.
But why? Can't you see it means... I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that, Jim.
Skip it.
Let's talk about something else, huh?
All right. What do you want to talk about?
You, for example. I'm serious, Jim. You're quite the man about campus. Where are you from?
Oh, I'm a Minnesota boy. Came from a little town up near the Canadian border, Ely, Minnesota. Great fishing country up there.
And I suppose the woods are full of relatives.
No, I haven't a relative in the world.
You're all alone?
Mm-hmm.
No parents living either?
No. Both of them lost in a fire.
Oh. How old were you?
Oh, about 3 or so.
What did you do, Jim?
I grew up in an orphanage.
Golly, you've had a rough time.
Oh, not so bad.
What did your father do?
He was a school teacher, and a very good one, too.
And you've come all this way, gotten all your education, all by yourself?
Of course. I knew I could if I had the chance.
How long were you in the orphanage, Jim?
Well, let's see. I left there when I was 16. Then I worked for a couple of years and decided I'd saved enough money to go to college. That is, if I worked my way through.
Oh, what ambition. No wonder you're the boy wonder of the campus. And sightless at that. Honestly, I haven't heard of anyone quite like you before.
I haven't done anything anyone else couldn't do.
But you've done it. Others might not do as well.
I don't know, Vivian. One of the greatest things we have in life is the right to a good education. It's hard to explain because there's actually nothing in the Constitution which says we have the right to an education. It's more or less implied, I guess. Most of our states provide public school education up through the 12th grade free. At least it's free to the student. When I was living in that orphanage, I used to do odd jobs whenever I could to make a nickel now and then for movies and candy like the other kids. The kids with moms and dads. And I went to school with them. There were some smart kids and some dumb ones, too. But there it was, an education for the getting. Although I'll admit there were quite a few of us who didn't appreciate it. But, Vivian, I did. For me, an education meant everything. I guess I was always a good reader. I have a good memory. I used to soak up everything I could beg, borrow, or steal. You see, it was an escape. It opened up worlds I'd never dreamed of. It was my right to read, my right to study, my right to dream of being a part of that world someday. And I will be, too.
Oh, Jim, I wish most of us could see as well as you do.
Well, education has done wonders for me. It's opened my eyes. Here I go again. But my eyes have been opened to the possibilities for a wonderful life. Why, in Europe, for example, who gets a college education?
I don't know. Guess I never thought about it, Jim.
Well, go ahead, think.
Isn't there a chance for everyone, or most people at least?
If there is, I'd like to know where. No, actually, Vivian, only the well-to-do, the children of politically powerful families, of militarists, the clergy, only that type of individual can afford to give their children the money for a college education. Most countries in Europe provide some form of elementary education, but higher education is limited to either the very brilliant or the very rich. Here, all you need is the will. Nobody will stop you from getting an education if you want it bad enough. Look at George Washington Carver, or Booker T. Washington, Ralph Bunche, Abraham Lincoln, or Helen Keller. They didn't have the crutch I have. There was no GI Bill to help them. They got an education, and they're great, all because they have the right to go and dig it out for themselves. Vivian, I'm afraid I sound like a lawyer already. Well, it's getting late, and I have some tapes to edit, but would you like me to walk you home?
Oh, no, thanks. I'll make it alone. It's been swell talking to you, Jim.
Maybe we can do this again sometime soon.
You know, I was just thinking the same thing. I'll see you, Jim. Night.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim. Well, you fellas having lots of fun with the books?
Sure.
You sure took your time, Jim, but then...
Oh, I had some interesting company.
Who? Anybody we know?
Vivian Graybar.
Huh? Hey, you trying to get my girl? I think I'll call her.
She won't be back at her house yet, Jack.
What does she want with you?
Oh, she just came by on her way home, I guess. I was sitting there on the porch, and she wanted to talk to somebody.
Well, she told me she was going shopping.
Maybe she did. I didn't ask her.
What did you two talk about?
I'd rather not say.
Why not? What could she possibly have to say to you?
Jack, I don't think that's any of your business.
Oh, it isn't. Well, I'm going to find out. Oh, busy. Well, we'll just wait till I get on that line.
Oh, cool off, Jack, will
you? Oh, shut up.
What are you so jumpy about?
Will you shut up?
Now, wait a minute. Nobody talks to me that way. Who do you think you're ordering around? After all, you're not in the army yet, you know.
Hey, you too. What do you mean, trying to steal my girl? She's mine, you understand?
I never said she wasn't, did I?
Well, leave her alone. If you don't, you'll have something coming you never figured on.
Jack, suppose you sit down and tell us what's eating you.
Let me alone.
Jack, Vivian's worried about you.
So, that's it.
Not entirely, but I think you owe her an explanation.
What do you mean, an explanation? And who does she think she is talking to you about it? Doggone it, that burns me up. You'd think my life was an open book.
After all, you're engaged to her.
I suppose you talked about her love life, too.
No.
Well, what did you talk about?
She's worried about you and this lather you've got yourself worked into all over this test tomorrow.
That's my business.
Of course it is, Jack, but it's her business too, you know.
It is not. You keep your nose out of it.
I didn't ask her. I came and talked to her.
And I suppose you blabbed everything you knew about her.
On the contrary, I told her I wouldn't pry into your reasons for trying so hard to stay out of the service.
You're lying. You told her I was afraid.
I'm not lying, Jack. I told her I wouldn't meddle with your reasons, and I'm not. But now that you've brought it up, is that the reason?
If you weren't cyclist...
Jack!
Keep out of this, Howard. Jim, there's some things friends don't do. One of them is talk behind a friend's back about his reasons for doing things his own way.
Well...
Look, I came to this college to learn engineering. My old man's the head of a big manufacturing company, branches all over the world. Someday I'm going to be sitting behind the same desk. I'll be making the policies, deciding what's to be done, who's going to do what. I'll be pushing the buttons instead of running when somebody wants me to do something. But I can't do it if I'm planted 4 feet deep in a mattress cover. Or if I have both of my eyes blown out.
Jack, I've stood about all I'm going to.
No, Howard. Let him go on.
Furthermore, a guy's got to have more than an education to fit the shoes my old man's wearing. He's got to know people, the right people. He's got to be able to talk their language. He's got to know the difference between a plow horse and a Percheron, Rembrandt and Renoir, Heifetz and Cassell. Do you think the Army's going to give me that kind of an education? Like fun they will. I'll be out there learning the nomenclature of a 105-millimeter howitzer. A lot of good that's going to do me in civilian life. And a lot of good it's going to do me to come back with an empty sleeve or half my face shot away. Now I'll let somebody else do it. My time's worth more to me than that. As far as Vivian is concerned, well, I'm not going to sit across the table from her every day of my life wondering if my plastic nose is on straight or if she's suffering because, well, maybe some motorist won't be looking when I'm crossing this street with my seeing-eye dog. Do you see what I'm throwing away if I flunk this test? I'll be shattering the happiness and the hopes of three people, my dad, my mother, and myself. Oh, I'll pass it all right. I know I will. If I flunk it, I'll deserve the consequences.
Have you ever told that to Vivian?
No, I haven't.
Well, you'd better not.
Huh?
She'd hate your guts just like any other decent woman would. You'd better not go spreading that outside of these four walls either, chum, because there'd be a swarm of GIs on your back so fast you'd never know what hit you.
Phew. I don't see how you can sit there, Jim. I feel like taking a walk for some fresh air.
Well, go on, take a walk.
Maybe you don't think I've ever thought along those same lines. Of course, I don't have all these wonderful opportunities to lose as you seem to think you might. But I wish there were no tests to take. You're afraid, Jack. Vivian was right. But your logic is based on emotion. Look, Jack. You grew up in a nation of rights for the individual. One of these is the right to have a good education. Put our rights in jeopardy, and what have you got? Nothing. Who's to decide who's going to have rights? All of us. Wanting an education, wanting rights isn't enough. You've got to preserve them for yourself and your fellow men. When we start losing our rights, education's going to be one of the first to go. Why? Because without it, the lessons of freedom can never be applied. Almost any study of intolerance will show you that. Lord knows, even men with educations are still learning how to live in harmony. What would life be if we didn't understand that?
Gentlemen, the monitors have passed out the tests. In exactly 60 seconds, it will be 3 o'clock. You will have 2 hours to complete the test. When you're finished, leave them face down on the table where I'm standing. Are there any questions?
Yes, sir.
What is it, Mr. Croft?
Suppose you don't wish to pass the test.
Please. This is no time for joking, Mr. Croft.
I'm not joking, sir.
Well, just sign your name, address, and year of graduation in the spaces provided on the form. And in the space for remarks, state your reason for not answering the questions.
Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi, Howie.
Where are you going all dialed up like $1 million?
Oh, I just thought I'd take in a movie.
Mind if I join you?
What time is it, Howie?
3:20.
I thought that was the time the test was being given.
Oh, I turned in my paper already, Jim.
Oh, no, it wasn't that easy.
Wasn't too hard.
What were some of the questions?
I don't remember any of them, Jim. All I did was sign my name, give my reasons why I refused to take it.
Refused to take it?
Yeah. I thought it over a long time last night after you and Jack had fallen asleep. You know, the things you said kind of hit home. And, well, I was amazed. All those things you told Jack, those didn't come out of a book or a test tube.
You're right there.
Well, I began to realize, or rather wonder, where that did come from. And suddenly I realized that what I was listening to was talk from an educated man. Not bitter, not egotistical, not fanatical. Just plain horse sense. You must have gotten it from somewhere, and although you never said so, I sort of figured you learned it the hard way. And sometimes that's the only way. I guess it's the kind of education you want to get that counts more than anything. As long as you have the right to get it.
You're catching on fast, Howie. I didn't know that much when I went into the Army. You're going to do all right.
By the way, Jim, I ran into Vivian just a few minutes ago.
Oh? Well, how is she?
She's looking mighty sweet these days. She gave me a pin to give back to Jack.
I'm sorry about that. Jack will take it hard. She say anything about it?
Not about that. She did say, though, she had a date with some fella down at the theater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. See you later, Jim. So long. And give her a hug for me, huh?
And that's my story, Alan. Not long after that, I was in uniform, learning more about life than I ever dreamed I'd know.
What happened to Jack Ferguson, Dr. Croft?
Oh, he took the test, Alan. Passed it with flying colors, too. But then, well, fate stepped in, as it sometimes does. Jack went to South America as a representative of his father's firm. He was quite a sportsman by then. Loved to fly, swim, ride horses, pursue the social amenities which he believed to be so important. Early one morning, Jack was killed taking a fence on a horse he had just bought. That was 15 years ago.
Well, Doctor, thanks for your time. I've learned something today.
Alan, if you think you're not prepared or haven't had sufficient time to prepare, I could arrange for
no.
you...
No. No, Dr. Croft.
You know, young man, your coming in to visit reminds me that I haven't written to your father for some time. I'll have to get to it this evening.
Sir, there's one thing I wish you'd say when you're right to death.
Yes? What would you like me to tell him about this?
Just say that you're reserving a chair in your classes for me until I get back.
God bless you, my boy. You have my word on it.
That's my story of how a nation will remain free and of how sometime in the future Alan Heath will accept military service in the interest of keeping this nation ever free. Perhaps Alan came to realize that rights which are threatened begin to disappear if no one rises to defend them. Aye, wanting rights is not enough. You must want them so badly that you will fight and die if necessary in the defense of those rights. Aye, the arguments about the test will go on, and education will be right in the middle. But just remember that whether education comes from the classroom or from your experiences in life, the results are the same. A richer, a fuller life. But only if what you learn is blessed with freedom. Aye, wanting an education and wanting freedom is not enough. For even free men must be vigilant. They must fight and die, now as in the past, to be sure that they remain on the road to destination freedom.
Paul Revere, portrayed by Maurice Copeland, we'll return next Sunday to narrate another chapter in the story we call Destination Freedom, presented by Station WMAQ in the interest of human freedom the world over. Today's script was written by Bob Eklund and produced under the direction of John Cowan. Charles Flynn played Jim Heath. Other members of the cast were Jack Bivens, Bill Fine, and Gene Mowry. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Helen Morton and Jose Bethencourt. Our engineer was George Wilson. Sound effects by Cliff Mueller and Bill Rose. This is Dick Noble reminding you that the sound of the Freedom Bell is your invitation to follow Paul Revere along the road to Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.